America is at a crossroads.
We're talking about November 5th. The consequences of this election are broader than even sometimes I grasp.
You only have two options, to vote or not vote.
AFA at Home takes a deep look.
Pray for fair elections, that God's hand is over these elections.
It all impacts you directly. Make your voice heard.
Don't miss this special edition of AFA at Home on AFA Stream. Visit stream.afa.net to sign up today. Stream.afa.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Thursday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope that you're having a great morning. Hope that you've had a really great week. I always remind myself, no matter what's going on in life, the Lord is on His throne. God is good. God loves me. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And so if I have a God on the throne of the universe who is, as the scripture says, the Lord sat as king at the flood, yes, the Lord sits as king forever. The God on the universe loves me. He is good, and He works all things together for good. I can handle any difficulty that comes my way. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I heard somebody quote that verse the other day, and it was a Dancing with the Stars. I think it was Dwight Howard. Debbie and I started watching Dancing with the Stars again. You know, it's been on 33 seasons. It's incredible. But Dwight Howard was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, so I'm doing this dancing competition. I was like, well, that's not what Philippians 4:13 means. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, so that means I can kick a 90-yard field goal. Well, that's not what that passage is saying. It's saying I can handle any circumstance I find myself in through Christ who strengthens me, and I can rise above in any situation. So that's the encouragement for today. No matter what's going on in your life, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Know that He cares about you. Know that God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. And know that He is working all these bad things. He's working them together for good to those who love Him. Well, the big news that people are talking about last night and today was the interview that Kamala Harris did with Bret Baier on Fox News. Now, Fox News is known as a more conservative news channel, and the MSNBC and NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, all those are considered the liberal mainstream media. And as we've seen on CBS News, they're just flat out propaganda machines. I mean, they alter things. They cut answers, as the Speaker of the House had a great answer to a question, but they cut it and make it sound differently. They altered Kamala Harris's answer. You know, she doesn't ever go live because the potential for a meltdown is there. But, you know, CBS News altered an answer that she had to make her sound more coherent. It's just criminal. You just can't do that. You need to report the news and let the chips fall where they may. News sources and news agencies are supposed to not put their spin on it. They're supposed to just say, this is what happened, but they don't. Anyway, Kamala Harris is obviously in trouble. The polls are showing she's in trouble. And so she has now been going on doing a lot more interviews. Remember when she first came out, took the baton from Joe Biden, she wasn't doing any interviews. She was just doing these, you know, speeches where she could read the teleprompter, and we saw what happened when the teleprompter goes out. She's just on her own, and she's gutted. And so, you know, going on an interview is a big deal. Well, she went on an interview with the conservative, more conservative network, Fox News, Bret Baier, and he was asking her a host of questions. And the bottom line is, she doesn't ever answer a question. I mean, she goes into it saying, okay, don't answer the question, and when you get in trouble, just blame Trump. And that's basically what she did all night. I'm going to play you some clips so you can see for yourself. Even Stephanie Ruhle from MSNBC did an interview with Kamala Harris, and she agreed that she doesn't answer any of the questions. And that can be very, very frustrating when you're asking a candidate, what about this, what about that, what about the other, and she never answers the question. So Bret Baier asked her a question about illegal immigration, and this was her answer. Randy, play number one, if you would.
You know, voters tell pollsters all over the country and here in Pennsylvania that immigration is one of the key issues that they're looking at this election, and specifically the influx of illegal immigrants from more than 150 countries. How many illegal immigrants would you estimate your administration has released into the country over the last 3.5 years?
Well, I'm glad you raised the issue of immigration, because I agree with you. It is a topic of discussion that people want to rightly have. And you know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, but right, do you think it's 1 million, 3 million?
Brett, let's just get to the point. Okay, the point is that we have a broken immigration system that needs to be repaired.
So your Homeland Security Secretary said that 85% of apprehensions.
I'm not finished. We have
an immigration system. It's a rough estimate of 6 million people have been released into the country. And let me just finish. I'll get to the question. I promise you.
I was beginning to answer.
And when you came.
So the question was how many? How many do you think? You know, the number I've heard floating around is about 20 million that have poured through. 20 million unvetted people. That's just insanity that you would open the floodgates like that. But she didn't answer the question. It's not a hard question. How many do you think have come in? And obviously, she's going to get that number from somebody else. You know, nobody is standing there. Somebody is knowing how many are coming in, but she's not standing there with a clicker saying, okay, that's a million, that's a million and a half. So you're getting the number from somewhere. But she wouldn't answer that question. Then on the heels of that, it's okay, we've had some bad actors come in, because when you open the floodgates and you don't vet these people, you're going to get in bad actors. And so she was then asked about the murders that have taken place from these illegal aliens. Randy, play clip number two, if you would.
Jocelyn Nungeri, Rachel Morin, Lakin Riley, they are young women who were brutally assaulted and killed by some of the men who were released at the beginning of the administration, well before a negotiated bipartisan bill. Former President Clinton actually referred to Lakin Riley Sunday, campaigning for you in Georgia, saying if those men had been properly vetted, Lakin Riley probably would not have been killed. So if it wouldn't have happened, this is well before any negotiation. This is well before Donald Trump got involved in the politics. This is a specific policy decision by your administration to release these men into the country. So what I'm saying to you, do you owe those families an apology?
Let me just say, first of all, those are tragic cases. There's no question about that. There is no question about that. And I can't imagine the pain that the families of those victims have experienced for a loss that should not have occurred. So that is true. It is also true that if a border security had actually been passed 9 months ago, it would be 9 months that we would have had more border agents at the border, more support for the folks who are working around the clock trying to hold it all together.
Madam Vice President.
To ensure that no future harm would occur. And this election in 20 days will determine whether we have a president of the United States who actually cares more about fixing a problem, even if it is not to their political advantage in an election. Because there was a solution, Brett.
Madam Vice President, it was a policy decision in the early part of your administration. I will let one of the mothers talk about it. Take a listen.
Because of the Biden-Harris administration open border policies catch and release, they were enrolled in the Alternatives to Detention program. This meant that they were released into the United States. It was not even a full 3 weeks later that they would take my daughter Jocelyn Nungeri's life. I believe the Biden-Harris administration open border policies are responsible for the death of my daughter.
That's the early days. So do you owe them an apology, is what I'm saying.
I will tell you that I am so sorry for her loss. I'm so sorry for her loss. Sincerely.
So that's the closest she came, I think, all night to kind of answering a question. And she didn't really say, I'm sorry for the policy. She just said, I'm sorry for your loss. And I could say that. I don't have anything to do with the policy. I could tell that dear grieving mother, I'm so sorry for your loss. So that's not taking any responsibility when the mother clearly said the responsibility lies with the Biden-Harris administration. Now, one more clip on the failure with border security, because that's obviously a big, big issue for voters. And Brett Baer asked again a question about border security. Randy, play clip number three, please.
During that time, you said repeatedly that the border was secure. When in your mind did it start becoming a crisis?
I think we've had a broken immigration system transcending, by the way, Donald Trump's administration even before. Let's all be honest about that. I have no pride in saying that this is a perfect immigration system. I've been clear, I think we all are, that it needs to be fixed. We need more. I was just down at the border talking with border agents, and they will tell you, and I'm sure you probably, I know you investigate and you are a serious journalist. They will tell you, we need more judges. We need to process those cases faster. We need the support for those cases that should be prosecuted. They need more resources, and Congress ultimately is the only place that's going to get fixed, Brett. Well, that's how the system works.
That's the premise of this question. But there were 90-plus executive orders that were rescinded in the first days. Many of those were Trump border policies. I'm not going to stay here because there's other things to talk about, but you frequently talk to the Border Patrol Union for support of that bipartisan bill, and they did. They supported it. But they also just endorsed Donald Trump and said, you've been, quote, a failure with border security.
Yeah, well, I think we would all agree. She's been a massive failure with border security. She was tabbed to be the border czar. And now the liberal media said, no, she never was the border czar. But the same liberal media sources that say she never was the border czar, when you go back just 3 years ago, they say, well, Kamala Harris is the border czar. They use the same language that now they're saying, well, she never was that. Kamala Harris talked about going to the border. I was just at the border. Yeah, as the border czar, you went to the border once. You just now went to the border. And the border is a disaster. You're over the border. That was your responsibility that Joe Biden gave to you. And you didn't even bother going to the border until just a few weeks ago. Makes absolutely no sense at all. And she needs to be held accountable for that. And voters need to hold her accountable. And hopefully more people are seeing, hey, this lady is not a leader. And, you know, the thing is, you might hate Donald Trump, and many people do, but you can't deny the fact that he has actually led things. He has actually done things that have been successful. He's led enterprises that have been successful. You know, the job of a congressman, the job of a senator is not the same job as a business CEO. It's not the same job as a governor. Governors deal with budgets. CEOs deal with budgets. They deal with making things fly and making things successful. And, you know, if you run something into the ground and I've destroyed business after business after business after business, obviously you don't want to put that person in charge of the federal government. But I've maintained that the job of we have a lot of senators that end up running for president. Well, a senator has never been over a budget. A governor is a much better training ground to be president. That's why I would have loved to have seen Ron DeSantis get the nomination for the Republicans for president, because he has proven himself to be excellent in governing. And as I've said before on this program, running for president and being the president are two different things. Some people are good at public speaking, they're good at running, they're good at schmoozing and all those things, but they're not good at managing. And the job of the president is to manage, it's to set the culture, it's to point the direction and turn things in the way that they should go that benefits the masses, not that just benefits the few. So you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the interview last night with Kamala Harris and Bret Baier on Fox News. And there's more to come when we return from the break. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the interview from last night, Kamala Harris with Bret Baier. And most of the pundits are saying, hey, you got to be in trouble in your campaign if you, as a liberal, are willing to go on a more conservative situation, a conservative interview, because they're going to start asking you not softball questions, not Stephen Colbert kind of interviews where, you know, they ask you what's your favorite color and what's your favorite flavor of ice cream, you know, those kinds of things. But you're going to start getting asked some more difficult questions. I don't think it matters with Kamala Harris. She doesn't seem to answer any of the questions, which can be very, very frustrating. You know, Here's the thing for me, and I think it's true for many of us. It's, hey, just tell us what you're for, what you're against, what is your vision, how you're planning to do it, because we're trying to make an informed decision. And when you're not telling anybody what you are going to do, then you let people fill in the blanks. And I would contend if somebody is running for office and they're not going to tell you what they're going to do and they don't tell you where they stand on things, or they keep flip-flopping, I'm against fracking, no, now I'm for fracking, they keep flip-flopping on issues, that's a huge red flag. And the moral issues, you know, with pastors, you hear from people, oh, pastors ought to stay out of politics. Well, listen, politics has intersected morality, and more things in politics affect biblical morality, and we desperately, as pastors, need to speak out on those things. We need to speak out about abortion. Abortion is murder. We don't have, neither of the candidates running for president are pro-life candidates, but one is a pro-death all the way candidate, and the other is reachable. And so that makes a difference there, because one of those two people is going to be president. We don't have a third party somewhere, and somebody else is going to come, a prince on a white horse. He's not coming into the race. So it's either going to be Harris, Walz, or Trump and J.D. Vance. So those are the two that we have to choose from. Abortion, a big issue. Transgenderism, another huge issue. It seems to me that the devil wants to steal and kill and destroy. I preached on the devil Sunday, and the Bible says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The devil doesn't come to play. He comes to pounce. He doesn't come to mess with you. He comes to massacre you. He's not your friend, and he wants to destroy. He's a death dealer, and so his target has always been to destroy the family, kill the babies, and if you can't kill the babies, then let's destroy the kid before he really gets out of the starting blocks through the insanity that is transgenderism, gender dysphoria, and let's have surgeries for these kids so we can wreck and ruin their lives when they're 12, 13, 14 years old. And so then they can't reproduce, and then they hate themselves, and then they end up killing themselves. And there's no wonder that the suicide rate for people with this gender dysphoria is four times the average, because they have made decisions that have detached themselves from reality. And what do you do after you come out of the ether? You just say, I can't live like this anymore. I'm just going to kill myself. It's horrific and it's terrible. And there you have one side that's really pushing for this, and they're really pushing for males, biological males, to play sports against biological females. Hats off to the groups now that are saying, hey, if you have a male on your female team, we're not going to participate. We're not going to play you. And that needs to happen all across the country. But you're going to let biological males into the bathroom, into the locker room of biological females? No. And so we need to say, give a hard no on that. Well, Brett Baer asked about the transgender situation, about transgender surgeries, about using taxpayer money to pay for criminals and illegals to have transgender surgery. And this was what Kamala Harris said concerning that. Play tape or clip number four, please, Randy.
This particular one from the Trump campaign has gotten a lot of attention.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access.
So are you still in support of using taxpayer dollars to help prison inmates or detained illegal aliens to transition to another gender?
I will follow the law. And it's a law that Donald Trump actually followed. You're probably familiar with, now it's a public report, that under Donald Trump's administration, these surgeries were available to, on a medical necessity basis, to people in the federal prison system. And I think, frankly, that ad from the Trump campaign is a little bit of like throwing, you know, stones when you're living in a glass house.
The Trump aides say that he never advocated for that prison policy and no gender transition surgeries happened during his presidency.
Well, you know what, you got to take responsible for what happened in your administration.
Yeah, no surgeries happened in his presidency.
It's in black and white.
Would you still advocate for using taxpayer dollars for gender reassignment surgeries?
I will follow the law, just as I think Donald Trump would say he did.
You would have a say as president.
He spent $20 million on those ads, trying to create a sense of fear in the voters because he actually has no plan in this election that is about focusing on the needs of the American people. Whereas, at $20 million on that ad, on an issue that, as it relates to the biggest issues that affect the American people, is really quite remote.
Well, it may be remote, but it reveals what's in your heart when you're wanting to have the government pay for the insanity of surgery and the butchery of surgery for these prisoners and for illegal aliens. It is sickening. And she called that a medical necessity. Well, it's not a medical necessity. Those people have mental and spiritual problems and emotional problems. And the answer to their problems is not to perform surgery or give them drugs to sterilize them. It's just insane. But that is a spiritual thing. And the devil is coming at our country and really the world with this transgender insanity. It fits in with Romans chapter 1, where God gives us over to sexual immorality, to homosexual immorality, and to a reprobate mind, a depraved mind, a mind that no longer functions, a mind that can stand there with a straight face with a bunch of degrees after your name and say, well, I can't define what a woman is. Who knows what a woman is? Only women can say what a woman is. And, you know, as the Chief Justice or the Supreme Court Justice, Jackson Brown, I've gone blank. As she was being interviewed, she said, well, what's a woman? Well, I'm not a biologist. Oh, good grief. I'm not a biologist either. I know what a woman is. It's very, very simple. But they don't want to answer the question. That's a big issue. That's an issue that's a moral issue. And we need to stand in the gap for people who are being destroyed on that issue. And then lastly, the last clip we have, Brett Baer asked her the question, hey, 79% of the people that we surveyed said that they believe we're on the wrong track. We're going in the wrong direction. And what do you say concerning that? Randy, play clip five.
rhetoric that people are frankly exhausted of, Brett.
More than 70% of people tell the country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on.
Madam Vice President.
You and I both know what I'm talking about. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually don't. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that over the last decade, people have become. But listen, over the last decade, it is clear to me, and certainly the Republicans who are on stage with me, the former chief of staff to the president, Donald Trump, former defense secretaries, national security advisor, and his vice president, one that he is unfit to serve, that he is unstable, that he is dangerous, and that people are exhausted with someone who professes to be a leader who spends full time demeaning and engaging in personal grievances and it being about him instead of the American people. People are tired of that.
If that's the case, why is half the country supporting him? Why is he beating you in a lot of swing states? Why, if he's as bad as you say, that half of this country is now supporting this person who could be the 47th president of the United States? Why is that happening?
This is an election for president of the United States. It's not supposed to be easy.
I know, but
it's
if
not
it's
supposed
as
to be. It is not supposed to be a cakewalk.
So are they misguided? The 50%? Are they stupid? What is it?
Oh God, I would never say that about the American people. And in fact, if you listen to Donald Trump, if you watch any of his rallies, he's the one who tends to demean, and belittle, and diminish the American people. He's the one who talks about an enemy within, an enemy within, talking about the American people, suggesting he would turn the American military on the American people.
We asked that question.
Well, that was a question about being going in the wrong direction, which she never responded. Somehow that's Trump's fault that we're going in the wrong direction. And the enemy within, you know, unless you're living under a rock and you don't understand that we have swamp rats, so to speak, you know, drain the swamp. I think most Americans would understand that we have a lot of bureaucrats that are swamp rats and that have infiltrated the government. And the swamp is much wider and much deeper than any of us initially thought when Trump went in office in 2016. But that's what he's talking about. I mean, that's the way I understand what he's talking about. Enemies within. There are people within that are trying to destroy our country. For instance, at the top of the hour, we heard in the news segment that people are trying to make it possible for illegal aliens to vote. And they're trying, in California, they passed a law. You cannot ask for ID. It's a crime to ask for ID before people vote. Well, there's only one reason why you would do that. You're going to cheat. I was seeing where they were going to make it a crime to videotape drop boxes, voter drop boxes, as Dinesh D'Souza did in his movie, The Mule or something like that. But he showed how people would come to the drop boxes with scores and scores and scores of ballots. Well, what is that? You only get one vote. Each person gets one vote. The idea of vote early and vote often that's been used as a joke is being perpetrated on America, and many people are cheating, and so that is just it's just sickening that we would have such corruption at the ballot box. That's why you hear people say, listen, we need to get a lot of people to vote. The idea that 32 million church-going Christians would sit this one out is repulsive. You can't sit this out. All that is required for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And you listen, whether you hate Donald Trump or whether you love Donald Trump, the fact of the matter is this: Kamala Harris has not done anything to get anybody to say, yes, I like her policies. I think she's going to make a great leader. I love the way she has this direction going for our country. She says, I'm not Joe Biden and I'm not Donald Trump and I love America. That was her answer for what are you going to do if you're elected president? And when she was asked by The View, another softball interview, what would you do differently from Joe Biden? I can't think of anything. So that's what you're going to get. Now, all of a sudden, she has a new plan. We're turning the page. We have this new, fresh leadership. She's been in power for 3.5 years. What you see is what you get. And on the other side of that coin, Trump was in power for 4 years, 2016 to 2020. What you see is what you get. And we've seen what he does. And all these outlandish accusations that he is going to destroy America, he's going to destroy our democracy. Newsflash, we don't have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic. It's different from just, majority rules. But they keep saying democracy, democracy, democracy. He's a threat to democracy. Well, he sure wasn't when he was president. Everybody benefited from the fact when he was president. And I was going back and forth with this guy on X, Twitter X, and he said, Trump is just in it for himself. Well, this is interesting. When President Trump was president, he took no salary for the job, and he lost $700 million of personal wealth by being president. Biden, Obama, the Clintons, they've all become multimillionaires with their public service. I think we would say, well, they're in it to feather their nest. Trump was not. He was in it for the betterment of the country. You might disagree with how he went about that, but that's obviously what he was trying to do. And his ability to take a licking and keep on ticking is amazing. Well, when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. What you think about what's going on and how this election that's coming up before you know it, early voting is starting very, very soon, and how we need to be praying that God would have mercy on America and give us a reprieve from judgment, because judgment is definitely coming, and we need to beg God and pray and ask God for mercy. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we are going to the phone lines for this segment. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888 859-8840. If you have a question or a comment concerning the interview that we've been talking about on the program today between Kamala Harris and Bret Baier, or if you just have something election-related or even just something out of left field, we'd love to hear from you, and I will do my best to answer your questions. So the phone lines are filling up, and we have Michael on the line from Florida. Michael, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your program.
Thank you.
Real quick, I just wanted to say that I had planned on voting on Election Day only. However, with all the craziness going on with the storms and ever, I have reconsidered about possibly voting early.
Uh-huh.
My concern is that when Biden was removed from the ticket, we don't want this, but if for some reason there was a successful attempt at assassination on Trump, and you voted early, what would happen then? And do you seriously recommend voting early?
Yeah, good question, Michael. I'm not exactly sure what would happen. I think that that ticket would be the one, and I would probably go to J.D. Vance if Trump was killed 2 days before November 5th or what have you. I would go ahead, and I'm personally going to vote early. I'd like to get that out of the way rather than vote on Election Day in case something were to happen and you had some unexpected difficulty come into your life and then you would miss it. So I would encourage people to vote early and not vote often, as the expression goes, but to vote early and to pray that the Lord would protect this election, that it would be free and fair. Hey, I'm all for free and fair. Obviously, there are a bunch of people that aren't. You know, these laws that they're passing, like the California law, Governor Gavin Newsom, it's illegal to ask for ID. That can only be done in order to perpetrate cheating and fraud. There's no other reason to have a law like that. And you have to present ID to do almost anything in this country. You can't get on an airplane without showing your ID. And you can't sign up for this, that, and the other without showing your ID. But we're going to let you vote without showing ID? Well, that's the only reason you could possibly want for having a law like that is so that you can cheat. So as people have been saying, we need to flood the ballot boxes with voters that are legitimate voters. So many voters that they can't cheat. You know, if it's close, cheating really comes into play. But if it's a landslide, you know, you can only bring so many votes to the drop boxes, and it's pretty hard for the voting mules to haul in 5 million extra votes in the drop box. So that's been the answer I've gotten from different ones on the program, that we just need to vote. Those 32 million Christians that the poll or the research from George Barna shows that aren't voting, they need to vote. You can't sit this one out. It is extremely important for the longevity of America to have the right person in place and to look at the policies, not vote for the person, but vote for the policies, vote for the person that's going to support Israel, vote for the person that's going to support the family, vote for the person that has common sense when it comes to issues of morality. And I think it's pretty clear between the two candidates who has that. So I appreciate the call. Well, we have Mark on the line from Texas. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. I just want to express my admiration for you for speaking out about the Kamala Harris interview.
Thank you.
I think Americans need to hear from our church leaders like you so that it validates their thoughts. And the reason I say this is because in the Philippines, if not for the church leaders, we would not have been able to remove the Marcoses from power. It was only because church leaders spoke out and it galvanized the people.
Amen. And that's you're saying that was in the Philippines?
Yeah, if not for the church leaders there, Filipinas would have not been very courageous to come out and show their support for the movement to remove the Marcos government from power.
Yeah.
That was really the case there. That's why, if you recall, it was big news in the world about the people power revolution. So I think in this country, church leaders are speaking out like you are doing and AFR doing so. Mm-hmm. I think it makes concrete in people's mind what their thoughts are. I think there are many Americans who may be on the fence, but hearing from you and others that speak out, it helps them feel confident in what they're thinking and hopefully encourage them to go to vote.
Amen. Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. And that's a good word. And we need more. I fully believe we need more pastors to stand up and speak up. We had a deacons meeting last night, and I told our deacons, I always like to have a theme for the year for First Baptist Texarkana. And I said the words that keep coming to my mind, strong and courageous, as the Lord told Joshua, Joshua 1:9, but be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I said, in these days in which we live, we need to be strong and courageous. We need to pray that God would make us bold so that we would speak as we ought to speak. And it starts in the pulpit, and from the pulpit to the pew, that we would be salt and light, that we would speak the truth in love, and that we would not back down. Listen, we have to remind ourselves every single day, what is my job, my number one job? Why am I here on this earth? It's to be the Lord's witness, and we want to be a faithful witness until the Lord takes us home. However he takes us home, through natural death, through getting killed because we're standing up for the truth, through the rapture, that's the best way to go. That's the way I want to go. As one man said, I'd much rather go from the upper taker than the undertaker. But either way, I want to be faithful. I want to hear the Lord say to me on that day, well done, my good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. So thanks for calling, Mark, and thank you for that encouragement and for that good word. Well, we have Barbara on the line from Georgia. Barbara, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I would like to speak to the issue of what is the election about this year? For me, the clear issue is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Every right we have is being attacked and undermined by the Biden administration. Now, I'm a black woman, okay, and I'm offended that they have characterized us as ignorant, that we can't even get a driver's license. That came from the Biden administration. You know, they talk about racism. Well, that's all they promote. Everything out of her mouth and his mouth is all about racism, because they know blacks are passionate. We live ablaze in our hearts, and there's no better way to attack us and get us on their side than to make those false claims. And sadly, many of us are just struggling to pay our bills. How many have time to sit down and really understand the truth? Mm-hmm. I have not heard a factual statement come out of that woman's mouth, not any debate she has had. And it's disgusting to me that she is representing, you know, Afro-American people. And these young girls are looking up to her. She's no example for freedom. She's no example for how a human should be. And her performance last night, well, she figured she could get away with all the lies she's been telling and keep the focus on beating down a man who really is a man of truth. He's a truth teller. I know I'm a truth teller, and people don't like us. That's the way it is. They don't want to hear it. But I'm so thankful that finally we had a reporter, an interviewer, that held her feet cautiously to the fire. Because had I been the one interviewing, I would have shut her up. I was like, listen, madam, you've had your time to speak. It's my turn now. Keep your lips closed. See, I would have treated her like the black woman that she claims to be, which she ain't.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I can't argue with that, Barbara. I appreciate you, and thank you so much for calling today and sharing that. I got to ask you, so just the way you say a few words, where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Chicago.
Okay.
I'm living in Georgia right now, though.
Okay. So you have a little bit of that Georgia accent?
I have a lot of it, sadly. You pick it up pretty quick here.
Well, I love it. So thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening to the program, and good word for sure. Well, we have Tevia from Texas on the line. Did I say that right?
Hi, good morning.
Is it Tevia?
Yes, sir. That's,
yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Good morning, Pastor Shreve.
Good morning.
So the point that I wanted to make, it's really important for us to vote, right, according to all our biblical views. Mm-hmm. And I understand that there's some Christians that portrayed that Harris would be a good candidate for us, but she's not. Life, right, the having life, right, preborn is... Children are really important to the kingdom of God, right? So someone that says that abortion is something that someone can just do as they please, they do not stand for life, right? So we need mm-hmm. to vote according to our values, right? And also, too, we need to be bold, like you were mentioning before, be strong and courageous, right? Mm-hmm. And vote for someone that actually is going to help to get things back on track for not just for our economy, but there is a lot of areas, you know, immigration, economy, energy, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on that's not going well, and all the war is happening. We need to get back on track on being right. actually a Christian nation, not mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. And I encouraged our church just 2 weeks ago. I said, you need to vote. You need to vote prayerfully. You need to vote biblically. Look at the issues as the politics intersect with morality, as it relates to life, as it relates to the family, as it relates to truth, as it relates to justice, as it relates to law and order. That's the point of government, to provide law and order, to punish evildoers and protect law-abiding citizens. And Israel is always a big player. Our attitude toward Israel, because God says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. So I appreciate you calling in, and that's a good word. We have CJ on the line from Louisiana. CJ, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I am doing fine, and I'm very excited about the lady that was on. Her name was Barbara. I just wanted to tell her, amen, sister, because she hit every point. And if I hadn't known, I would have thought that I was talking to myself. she brought it. She really brought it. And the other thing that I would like to say is that I think it was back in 2007, I came across an article on the internet, and I did not copy it. But that article was talking about way back then how to turn America into a third world country. First thing listed was to get rid of the middle class. And I've been watching all this stuff go on, right, with my own eyes and hearing it with my own ears, and I'm going, Lord, I never thought when I saw that article to copy it. But the Lord has shown me a whole lot of things. And the only reason that I'm not out there like some people who don't believe it is that Sister Frances swaggered. She made a statement that turned me in my tracks in my house. She said most people take what they hear at the value that people have said it, and they never stopped. They never stopped to check it out for themselves. Mm-hmm. And when she said that, I said, you're talking to me. And from that point, I started researching everything that was told to me. And I'm telling you, I'm just so thankful that the Lord is good. He is faithful, and he will keep those who want to be kept.
Amen. Amen. Good word, CJ. Thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate hearing from you, and thanks for listening to the program. We have just another minute, so we have time for one more. BJ from Texas. BJ, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I am so excited that I'm hearing these women of color speak up. Barbara was the first one. But what I want to say is that I watched the Brett Barr interview last night, and I thought that he did excellent. It's the first one that ever challenged her with some legitimate questions. But There was a couple of things that he said that he opened up the window for her to go on with her word salad. One of them was about, will you apologize to these mothers that these illegal immigrants raped and killed? It doesn't matter whether or not she apologized.
Right. That's exactly right. And we played that clip, and so, she didn't take responsibility as she should have. Well, we're out of time. I'm sorry about that, BJ, but we're out of time. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.